WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. We just heard an interview with Jon Krakauer, recorded several days after he survived the storm on Mount Everest that killed 9 climbers in one day. Krakauer has written a new book about the disaster called Into Thin Air. We phoned him yesterday and asked if he was still depressed and having nightmares.
Well, the nightmares, I dreamed about Everest last night, but they're different. They're not the sitting bolt upright in a cold sweat in the middle of the night kind of things. They're just kind of frustration dreams, and they're not good. The depression, you know, I'm not over this, and I don't really expect to. It's different. I mean, I can't really tell because I'm in the middle of this book tour, so I don't have any free time that where I'm not thinking about it or being asked hard questions about it. So it's kind of changed, and there's still, I just haven't had time to process it yet. And I expect, you know, I think that having written the book will eventually help, but it hasn't yet. And that was a some people died who were close to me, and I wouldn't expect to get over that quickly. So I'm just kind of, you know, trying to be patient and hang in there.
You did a lot of research before writing the book, talking to other people about their perspective on the story, other people who were there on Everest. Did it change your perspective on the climb or on what went wrong?
It gave me a better understanding, but there wasn't any, you know, smoking gun that turned up. This isn't, you know, this tragedy, I don't think, should be viewed as some sort of scandal trying to find out the villain and who's to blame for this, because all of us who are up there are culpable to some degree, and it, you know, and the tragedy has its roots in sort of ordinary human failings and hubris and sort of striving maybe too far, and that's what caused it. I learned various details. I learned there's a really troubling thing about something I'd got really wrong in the magazine article about one of my friends, one of Rob Hall's guides, Andy Harris, who I'd reported that I thought I'd seen him come to the high camp and return safely, and then he hadn't showed up. And I reported that I thought he had walked off this 4,000-foot precipice. And I based that report on having seen him. You know, he'd sat down next to me and talked to me. And, well, it turns out the person I had that conversation with wasn't Andy Harris at all. I discovered this out in my research after the article was written. And I'd confuse Andy for a guy who looked nothing like him, sounded nothing like him. And to this day, if I hadn't proven it to myself, I would swear that was Andy Harris who I was talking to. I can still picture his ice-covered face and hear the sound of his voice. And that really, you know, disturbed me and upset me. It was actually one of the motivations I had for writing this book, to set the record straight, to correct that error.
When we talked a year ago, you were pretty down on the idea of high-risk adventure.
Right.
What about now?
Well, you know, I came back from Everest really doubting climbing, thinking that maybe it was just a bad thing. You know, and this is something that's at the center of my life. It really is the glue that's held my life together. And so that was kind of upsetting. And since then, I was offered an assignment by National Geographic to go to Antarctica for 2 months to climb. And I accepted it because it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity with some of the best climbers in the world. So I went, and I was really nervous before I went, whether I'd let my partners down or whether I'd just freak out and couldn't climb. But it was actually a really good thing, and the climbing was spectacular. It was low-altitude technical climbing, very, very steep rock walls in this amazing landscape, and it was uneventful. So it sort of reaffirmed my belief that climbing doesn't have to be terrible. It's still, you know, that's the paradox here. Climbing is a really, really rewarding activity precisely because the hazards are real. It matters what you do up there. You have to pay attention. It's, you know, it's life and death, and that makes it really rewarding when it works out. But when it doesn't, there's no way to defend it, and there's no way to explain it. It just seems like horrible. So I don't know. I mean, I'm unable. I guess I'm not proud of the fact that I still climb, but I still do. I certainly will not be going back to Everest or any other high altitude mountain. I mean, I was way out of my league on Everest, and I'm not going back there.
Who isn't out of their league there? Apparently, one of the Sherpa guides fell to his death on Everest this week.
Yeah, a Sherpa guiding for a Malaysian big Malaysian team, and one of the guys I wrote about in the book, Mal Duff, leader of a very experienced Himalayan climber, leader of a British expedition, died a week and a half ago at base camp in his sleep. So, Everest, high altitude, above 26,000 feet, to my mind, is a lot like playing Russian roulette. In ordinary climbing, the hazards are apparent, it's steep, it looks scary and really dangerous, but to a large degree, the hazards hinge on your own skill and strength and judgment. You can control whether you're going to survive or not. On Everest, you lose that control. It's at the whim of the elements, and high altitude diseases strike quickly, and they can strike the best climbers in the world as well as the worst. So, the statistics don't lie. For every four people who have summited Everest, one has died. Right now, as we speak, climbers are assembling for their summit pushes. They've done their acclimatization. They're just waiting for a break in the weather. The weather's bad right now, but sometime between May 10th and 12th, there's likely to be another huge crowd all going for the summit at the same time. And among those people are many people who were there last year, some guides and other climbers, David Brashears, who led the IMAX expedition, Ed Viesters, Pete Athens, names that, were part of the events last year, many people who participated in the rescue, and they're there this year, and I'm anxious for them. I'm very anxious, probably maybe more than I need to be, but I can't help that. I'm following things closely.
Do you feel you've become a different kind of climber since Everest? Do you approach climbing differently?
Well, I've only done one serious climbing trip, and I sure...
The Antarctica trip.
Yeah, and it was nothing like the climb on Everest. It was amazing, spending four or five nights on this overhanging rock wall. But I certainly was kind of... I didn't climb particularly confidently. I was kind of freaked out, and it took me a while to get used to it. Yeah, I look at climbing differently. I mean, I always thought I understood the risks, but I didn't really. I mean, it's one thing to appreciate that you can get killed on some abstract intellectual level, but to have come out of something like what happened on Everest, I look at things pretty differently now. And, and climbing's funny because a lot of it is sort of learning how to deal with fear and sort of block out fear at the appropriate moments, and that's somewhat harder now. I'm real nervous that I'm going to witness some other accident, and that I worry that might. I mean, then I have a hard enough time doing it now, and if that happens, I don't know what. I mean, climbing is important to me. I can't explain it. I mean, it fills a hole that nothing else does, and gives my life some sort of shape, and it's all selfish and doesn't do anybody else any good, but it generally doesn't do anyone else much harm either, or didn't until Everest. So I don't know. I mean, this is stuff, I'm going to wrestle with for a little bit, I suppose.
Well, John, thanks for letting us check in with you, and good luck with the book and your future climbing if you continue to climb.
Thanks. It's a pleasure talking with you.
John Krakauer has written a new book about the disaster on Mount Everest called Into Thin Air.